You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. A big thanks once again to Katie Tyrrell McCafferty, Bree Curran and Professor Pat O'Connor for their contributions in the previous hour, and lots of you messaging in, as you can imagine, because these are always hopefully interesting topics, but those that will generate interest. A caller says, as a disabled woman, I'm sick of immigrants pushing me and my trolley aside in supermarkets in Letterkenny. Another, Greg, am I right in saying that a busload of people arrived at the hotel in question the day after the first night of the riots with Garda Patrol guarding them? Seen it on Facebook, but don't know if it's right or not. I don't believe everything I see on Facebook. Just curious. I can't answer that one specifically. A caller says, I disagree with their points on the riots. This country is changing because of imported culture who do not respect the Irish culture or values. The Irish never went to another country and got the hands out. These people are being given, many coming here for economic reasons and nothing else. But is that like, you know, that's the system though, isn't it, that should be filtering people out that are only coming for those reasons? But I mean, you know, I presume you mean free economy, because when we did travel abroad, we did travel abroad for economic reasons and we continue to do so. But does that mean the type of violence that we saw this week is in any way justifiable? I mean, those guards, I know at least three Donegal lads, and it's lads, by the way, I'm not being, that are guards down there. And I wouldn't be surprised if they were lined up in the street. Is it okay? I mean, are you saying it's okay that, you know, they're doing their job, they've been told what to do, that they get bottles thrown at them, fireworks thrown at them? You know, these are not strangers. These are our family and neighbours and friends. As I say, I know three that were assigned to Garda stations, new recruits effectively, in Dublin. Because you have to think about it in the round. We can't sort of cherry pick what makes us feel better. You have to think about it in the whole. Is that acceptable? I mean, is that ever acceptable to you? You know, we can't just make out the guards of these faceless people we don't know. They have been sent there. That's their job, effectively. And if they weren't there, what happens next? There's kids in that hotel as well. If the guards aren't there, right, so say the guards disappear, what happens to that building and the people inside it? Are you saying that could be justified as well? So I think it's important that really we think through what we're thinking and actually have to take it to its natural conclusion. And I'm not saying anyone's right or wrong. That's not what I'm here for. I'm just saying, you know, you have to think about everything to its natural conclusion as well. You know, what happens if there were no resistance on Tuesday and Wednesday night? What happens next? You know, as I say, there are innocent children in that building as well. That lady is totally correct, says a listener. Tusla is a disgrace, like the social workers, the wine and cheese gang. As long as your problems are between 9 and 5 and no weekends, we might take a look. That worker should be sacked on the spot. They were probably on their phone when the child disappeared. Another, blame the government for what's happening in this country. The City West get 1.3 million. It's all about money. 1.3 million, what's that for a day? Another, immigration is simple legal immigrants, is normal people destroying their passports when they arrive. They should be sent directly back on the next return flight of where they came. They should not even leave the airport. That's normal procedure. Another, last week in Dublin, a man who was carrying a knife was stopped by Gardaí but was let walk on because he declared he was carrying this weapon for religious reasons. The video was doing the rounds on social media. Send it in to me, please. I would like to see that. A caller says, if their parents knew their kids were rioting, they'd keep them in the house, but they do know they're brought up to riot. Another, I watched TikToks of a young 21-year-old girl being pepper sprayed as well as her mother. It didn't seem to matter if people were being peaceful or not. There are two sides to every story. The guards are doing their job, but I don't agree with the way they are doing it. And that's really, we didn't get to that conversation, but it formed part of my question. The one thing I will say, and this is in no way again to say what's right or wrong, when you see your own people being treated like that, it's tough. But I would not go anywhere near that Garda line, because I know how far they can spell pepper spray and I know what they can do with the plastic shields. And they will push back and they will fire that stuff. So I'm not saying it's right or wrong what they're doing. I just know I wouldn't place myself in that position. Another caller says, the Irish didn't go over to England to get put into a hotel. Back in the day when you emigrated, you went over to work. The people that are in this country are not here to work. The majority of people coming into this country, by the way, are coming here on work visas. I know it's the bigger motive part of the conversation, those in IPAS centres, but they are actually the smaller proportion of people coming into the country. A caller says, I'm a little disappointed that they cannot see that people are being taken to the pitch on this issue. They're saying they're just troublemakers, but they're not. They are the people of Ireland, not just troublemakers. And I think in fairness to Pat, and Breed agreed, she was talking about three cohorts of people, and I thought they were being, you know, relatively gracious in saying there were some young people caught up in that, that we should have resources in place for them so that they aren't involved in that type of activity, probably not really knowing all the issues, if you get where I'm coming from. I don't agree with your speaker saying that there's nothing for recreational rioters. I live in a rural disadvantaged area and I'm never off the road in the evening taking my children to activities. I also have neighbours in the same estate that don't do anything with theirs, but allow them to run around about in the evenings and not know where they are. Parents need to take responsibility for where their children are and not blame everything on community and resources. Our own society has lost its way. Our country is not in a stable enough place to be accepting all different cultures, as unfortunately our own family values, responsibilities and morals have gone out the window. I mean, there's. I was having a conversation yesterday with someone and there was a person appeared in court in this county charged with very serious charges as it relates to children. And, you know, no one mentioned it to me. It's almost as if sometimes we get a pass. I would love to see us angry at all of it, because there is an awful problem in this country, not just people coming into this country, but in this country, of primarily men, it has to be said, who use and abuse women and children. And it's not all men, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that. But we kind of, you know, you look at a post, you know, some news outlets post these stories up on social media. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of interaction. Sometimes comments are off, I get that, right? But this is a person responsible for the most heinous of crimes. And no one's talking about it in the houses. And yet we have this awful, another awful, horrific incident. And it causes riots. I mean, I wish we could find a way to find space in our lives to be as protective of all children equally. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not saying we should temper anger or outrage. I'm not promoting violence or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. But I just wish we could find a way whereby we don't just accept, you know, the abuse of children in one space and then, you know, get really angry in another. We should be driving change across the board, I think, anyway. My hometown, Letterkenny, and every town in Ireland has been completely changed forever by government incompetence. Lower Main Street has been taken over by migrants, and my wife will not go there in the evening. Our country and culture has been ruined by all government parties. A caller says, new children talk the real problem. It's everywhere, and Letterkenny, small town, losing hotel accommodation, etc. Morningers, nobody questioned how a child in Tusler Care was on her own. Let me see how I can phrase this without it. There are certain indicators. There's a lot of kids go missing. You would know that. There's a lot of kids go missing. A lot of them are teenagers around the country. And I would be familiar with addresses of certain places right across the country because I get all of the emails. And children go missing from that type of accommodation is way, way, way more regular than you might actually think. You know, you'll see, as I say, I just have to be very careful. And I don't have to be careful because I don't want to upset too, so don't get me wrong. But, you know, often these are vulnerable children. But a lot of the children that I would send appeals up for or nationally have run off from certain types of accommodation. So it's actually really, it's not uncommon. So when you ask how could someone find themselves on their own in that situation, I'm not sure of all the details of this case. I'm just saying in other cases, you can see how they end up on their own because they abscond. Hi, why is it that a pencil is left for you to use at a polling station booth when you vote and not a biro in the year 2025? Well, ink can run and all that kind of stuff and smudge. Take a pen with you. You're no issue. If you want to go out and vote, take a pen and vote away. I think the pencil is just seen as something that, as I say, doesn't smudge as much and doesn't run if a ballot paper were to get wet, for an example. I'm sympathetic to everyone's opinions, but this one is take your own pen. There's nothing going on there, I don't think. How many protests is it going to take for the media to talk about the real problem? Okay, I advise you just to listen to the last hour, because we've been trying to get, I'm trying to have a conversation about what the problem is. Stop the benefits and they'll report themselves, or deport themselves, I presume you mean. This suspect of the attack on a 10-year-old girl was to be deported. Was he to avail of the 10,000 payout from our hard-earned selves? I don't think he would have qualified for that. Right, okay, we'll be back with so much more on the 9 till noon show. In fact, we are going to be launching next something that's become a very important and fun and happy and joyous part of the annual calendar here at Highland Radio. Sean Quinn will join me with the deets after these. Now, as we know, voting is continuing in the presidential election, but because of weather, of course, there can be some variations on our islands. Garda Richard Quigley is with me. Just to clarify the situation on Aaron Moore. Good morning, Richard. So what is the information you have for our listeners?
Greg, how are you getting on? Just something was, concerns were raised this morning when we were coming out to the island about the way the weather might turn later on, particularly after the hours of darkness. So on the basis of that, we were talking to the returning officer in Letterkenny, and for safety, naturally, first and foremost, they were happy to pull the closing time of the polling stations here back to 5 p.m. So they've been open since 10 a.m. this morning, and the two polling stations in Leigh Darrow and a fort will be open till 5 p.m. instead of 7 p.m. It had initially supposed to be 7:30. It was pulled back to 7 o'clock yesterday on the basis of weather. And again, just because of the possibility of the way the weather could go, a decision's been made now that the polling stations will close at 5 o'clock instead of 7.
All right. So get out and vote if you're inclined to do so. And obviously, Richard, this is to ensure that the ballot box can be gotten back to Letterkenny to be included in tomorrow's count.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah, to make sure everything runs smoothly and that the votes are here, that the votes that are made here are included, and for safety and everything else. That's the reason for it, Greg. So 5 o'clock here on the island for the two polling stations in Arranmore, they'll be closed, and we'll be heading back to the mainland then.
All right, safe journey. Thanks, Garda Richard Quigley, for that information. So if you are going to vote today, and people made great sacrifices to ensure you could, you have till 5 o'clock now to vote on Arranmore Island. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, there were campaigns for years to have voting on the islands, because they used to vote a day in advance for this very reason, actually, to have them on the same day. And yet here we are, we've achieved that. Well, don't blame me. And here we have a situation whereby the polls have to close early because they are on the same day as the mainland. Okay. Right, I almost called you Garda Sean Quinn there for a second.
I've been called worse.
Exactly. Highland CEO Sean Quinn is here with us, and you know it's the 24th of October, and we are going to mention the word Christmas because, for obvious reasons, we have to launch Home for Christmas a little bit earlier to get all the prep done. And Today's the day. How exciting.
It's great. I even put on my Christmas shirt today.
Yeah, no baubles, but yeah.
Try to get into the whole feel. It's just not completely Christmas yet. But I'm delighted to be back again, Greg. This is our fourth year to launch Home for Christmas. And I have no idea where we're going to go this year.
It's crazy, yeah.
It's brilliant. I'm excited by it. I can't wait to see the floods of letters, emails that we're going to get again this year. And my biggest challenge is, how do we surpass what we did last year?
Well, let's remind ourselves of last year. And this is visual, so if you're watching the show, you'll see it. And from an audio perspective, hopefully it'll work really well too. Last year was something special, wasn't it? You think you can't recreate it, and yet year on year, amazing Christmas thing is recreated.
Absolutely. I said the same last year to the team. I said, I don't know how we're going to do it this year. And I think it's always the letter, the family that nominates, the family that are going to come home. It just hits you. And then the creative juices start flowing. You get somebody involved that is going to keep a secret for a number of weeks. And all of a sudden it starts coming together. So far, so good in 3 years. And I'm not sitting here confident that we're going to deliver it. But we've managed to keep it a secret this far. 4 years, fourth year, I'm sure we can do it. I'm sure we'll try a bit. Well, it's just so exciting, Greg. I can't wait. I just, it's to me, it starts Christmas.
Well, let's catch up on last year.
Yeah.
Splitting that prize amongst anyone, but anyway, maybe we could have a surprise for everybody here. Okay, folks, the cat is well and truly out of the bag. This is our home for Christmas. Yes, big round of applause for everyone. We've been playing a blinder today, keeping everything and everyone a secret. We mentioned where they've come from. We've flown them from the other side of the world. They haven't been home for years. I think this might be some of the young family members' first Christmas ever. I think they were hoping at some point in the distant future to come back. And here they are. We've made miracles happen. And it is a Christmas miracle for this family.
It totally is. All the way from Melbourne.
Right, how are you getting on?
Pretty well, thank you.
How do you feel?
A bit overwhelmed, actually. It's been a big couple of days. It's actually a big couple of weeks since Sean's given us the call, and in the middle of a Thursday night, thinking in the beginning it was a prank call. Wasn't too sure what was going on until he started mentioning a few names and the penny dropped, and thinking this could be true. We were planning next year to come back. Purely just we had to spread Dad's ashes because he passed away in May. But we're good.
Okay, I'm not going to dwell on that because I would say it's still very raw, okay, but I wasn't fully aware of that. So your father passed away and the intention was when you did manage to get back that you wanted to be involved in the spreading of his ashes and here you are now able to do it.
Yeah, we're a year early, so here we are.
Sorry about that. I was caught up with that. I could have watched that for...
We nearly got the crisps out there.
Yeah, I could have watched that for an hour. So a wonderful family, and it was a wonderful surprise and a wonderful story too, and so many layers to it, some intentional, some accidental, but that's the joy of it all, isn't it, Sean?
It is, and I remember actually having a conversation with Declan. He was out walking his dog, and it was 11:30 at their time, obviously, whatever time we were at. But, he was excited, but he found it hard to keep it a secret because reality was he told his girls they're coming to Ireland for Christmas. And he's a very open person. And he says, I'm struggling, mate. I'm really struggling. I have to tell somebody. And I says, you can't tell anybody. Please do not tell anybody. And it was kind of I nearly had to sign a contract with him to make sure they didn't. But it was worth it because the actual day was just amazing. Then they came out the lift. Family were sitting beside the lift. I actually met them, would you believe, in Bala Buffet during the week, his mum. And they still talk about it. You know, it's great.
Yeah. 2022, we brought the Bradleys home from Sweden. 2023, the O'Donnells from New Zealand. And 2024, as you've just heard, the Flannerys from Australia. And, you know, this is global. And no one else is doing anything on this stage. It really is quite remarkable. So, as we've seen, you can't get much further away than we've been talking about. So, you know, the jury's out. Where are we going next? We simply don't know. How do people nominate for Home for Christmas 2025?
So there's a couple of ways that you can do it. The easiest way is to email us. So it's homeforchristmas@highlandradio.com. And what I will say is we don't need a full story, Greg, but the more information that you can give us, the better it is for us when we're actually looking and judging and shortlisting. Key thing here is make sure, please put your own contact number on it, because what we will do is we will ring you and ask you some more questions because we're going to get a better feel for it. So it doesn't have to be a story. It can be a paragraph, but make it punchy. Make it a reason why we should pick your family to come home for Christmas. You can also write to us at Highland Radio, Pine Hill Industrial Estate, Mountaintop, Letterkenny. And there's also a form online as well. So highlandradio.com.
Yeah. And the idea being obviously that, you know, we are able to facilitate something that might not ordinarily be able to happen.
Absolutely.
And the more of that in the story, I would argue, and I'm not privy to the selection process, the better, because this is about making dreams come true, not dreams more affordable.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? The great thing here is I'm opening this up to the world again.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a kind of a feel for we've been the furthest away we could be, and we managed to do it. So this year, thanks to our two business people who have been so supportive of them back on board again this year. We couldn't do it without them. They don't want to name mentioned and who they are. But I'm opening this to the world again is where are you? Where's your family? Do you want to bring them home for Christmas? Tell us why. And we'll make it happen, as we have done for the last 3 years.
To recap, to enter, just tell us who you'd like to nominate. And it can even be yourself and why they or you deserve to be reunited this Christmas. You can email your story and contact details to homeforchristmas@highlandradio.com. There's a form you can fill out at highlandradio.com, or you can post your entry to Home for Christmas, Highland Radio, Mountaintop, Letterkenny. Entries close on Sunday, the 21st of November. So there's less than a month of a lead into this, and there's going to be an awful lot of work from the closing date until the event, whenever that might be, to be done. So you can understand the timing of all of this. And as Sean quite rightly pointed out there, tell us why it would make sense. And you can bang that out in a paragraph, right?
Yeah.
As Sean says, you know, we can chase it up. The team will chase it up. But that being said, also, you know, if you can give us a sense of the layers of the reasons, that's beneficial too, because we want it to be really important for the people.
Absolutely, and it's harder every year, Greg. You know, we sit, we deliberate, because this is life changing for a family that is, you know, thousands and thousands of miles away. So we want to get that right too. So the more information we have. I'm not saying it makes it easier, but it does a little bit, because we've got more feel for where they're coming from, who are the family, what's the background, and where can we get that surprise element as well.
Yeah.
That comes from the letter, believe it or not. So that's important to us. We had hundreds of letters last year. We anticipate they will be the same this year. There's a lot of young people that have gone out to Australia, but it could be America this year. It could be Europe, whatever we see. And we might do two.
Yeah.
Who knows? It'll just depend on what we feel is the right thing to do around
time. Can you give us a breakdown, generally speaking? Is it mostly people nominating themselves, or people nominating someone, or is it a mix?
No, it's probably, if I use the 80-20 rule, 80% of people are nominating a family who are away.
Right, well then let's try and equalise that out.
Yeah.
You know,
if you're away and you're listening, or somebody tells you about what we're doing today, feel free to nominate yourself.
Sure. Yeah, because they might, if they don't get the clip, it'll be posted on our socials and stuff as well. So, you know, don't be shy about that either. So it's last, as I say, I find it hard to believe that you're able to replicate the amazing experience every year, but it's been that way so far. 22, the Bradleys; 23, the O'Donnells, that's Sweden, New York; 24, the Flannies from Australia. And also to, you know, like, it doesn't have to be those countries either.
No. Anywhere.
Yeah, we demonstrate the fact that it's literally open to the world.
Our first year, we were kind of restricted, okay? But we're not now. So wherever you live in the world, if you want to come home this Christmas, come and tell us why we should bring you home. And if we think you're the right family, we're going to bring you home, whichever or how it takes or how many days it takes. We had to bring Declan and the family home a day earlier last year, which was really difficult.
Yeah, but that was crazy, because they ended up effectively in lockdown in the hotel. Like, it was a military operation and to keep them out of sight.
If people know Declan, that wasn't easy, because he's hyper. He has to be doing things. But do you know what? He played a massive part, as did, can I also say, the Gallen group last year, that they looked after them from the minute they walked in the door to the reveal at the lift. The hotel staff were amazing, and we can't thank them enough for that, because they were, you know, we managed to surprise them, Greg, but it was because of the team that everybody came together with that it happened. And as I said, we're hopefully going to do that again this year, that we can find a surprise element in the family that come home.
Yeah. And it was such a lovely, cosy setting too.
It was fabulous, absolutely fabulous.
They achieved that cosiness in actually such a big place, if you know what I mean. It was lovely. Right, so just to recap again, who is coming home for Christmas? Highland Radio wants to make this Christmas extra, extra special by bringing your family home for Christmas. To enter, tell us who you'd like to nominate, or you can nominate yourself. And why you or they deserve to be reunited this Christmas. Email your story, and very importantly, as Sean pointed out, your contact details.
Yeah.
to home for Christmas at highlandradio.com. There's a form, online form, on our website, highlandradio.com, or you can send it by letter to Home for Christmas, Highland Radio, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, County Donegal, and it's up to you however you communicate to us. There's no advantage. We're just trying to make it as easy as possible. Yep. And you have until the 21st of November 2025, so don't miss out. Get the letters in.
Get it in, yeah, because we have
and
to...
And as you said, depending, you could maybe push it out to two. Who's to say the jury's open, but you're not saying it. Yes, you're not saying
I'm open. I'm open to see which depends on which part
logistics
of the world.
Logistics and stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Bottom line. The generosity of our friends is not infinite.
No. I could go back to them again now and say, do you know what? There's a budget there. We've managed to do it in the last couple of years at the other end of the world, so I'm sure that we can do it again this year. Before I go, Greg, can I just... put a best wishes to Colin Ferriter. Next Wednesday, I think it is, he is up. He's been shortlisted for the Irish Programme of the Year.
Oh, wow.
And radio personality at the Oroctus Media Awards. So
I think he's in for a shout there. He's a talented
guy.
Yeah,
I hope he is. He is. Yeah, and I love the way he brings the kids together as well, both in speech but also musically. He does a great job on a Wednesday evening. So the best of luck to him next week. It is Wednesday because he's off his show next week.
His dad was my master.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Master Ferriter, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. In Lahey National School.
So it's his fault then?
Partly to blame. I left Lahey National School in good shape. It was the decline happened after that. So it's not Master Ferriter's fault.
Yeah, any old excuse. Yeah, I get that one. I don't have an excuse. I just never got there.
Yeah, so. So there you have it. That's the connection.
So the best
well
luck
done,
to,
Colin. Luck. Well deserved too. It's a really, like my Irish is poor, but I tune in because he streams it as well. Yeah. And it's lovely to... the way he harnesses and encourages the language in a cool, fun way.
He is cool.
He's cool, isn't he? Handsome too. He kind of annoys me a little bit. All right. Anything else, Sean?
No, I think we've more
Shania
to come.
Will. I'll recap. Loads more coming up to Christmas as well. So
busy
stay
time.
Tuned here because a lot of it is down potentially to your advantage. So we'll recap. You'll hear the promos. You've got to 21st of November. Get onto the website if you missed anything there because sometimes it's handy to look at information as well. Highlandradio.com. And don't be shy to nominate yourself as well. I'm using the word shy because I can't think of an alternative. But don't be behind the door. It's not about shyness if you get where I'm coming from. All right, Sean, thanks very much.
Thanks, Greg.
Back after the break. Now, London's Downing Street says the not guilty verdict in the trial of Soldier F is an example of the complex legacy of the Troubles. Yesterday, the former paratrooper was found not guilty of murdering James Ray and William McKinney and of trying to kill five others on Bloody Sunday. Veterans have welcomed the verdict. Families say their campaign is not over. Mickey McKinney, his brother William, was one of the 13 people murdered on Bloody Sunday during a civil rights demonstration, and Mickey is with me now. Mickey, how are you today?
Slightly better than yesterday. Maybe a bit of time to reflect. Yesterday was full of emotion, at the verdict. We were really disappointed. But on reflection... we knew it was going to be close anyway, and we knew that the evidence wasn't really stacking in our favour. But we were still hopeful that we might have got a better result.
Having seen the evidence and sat through the trial, do you disagree with the verdict?
Of course I disagree with the verdict, Soldier F was responsible for his actions that day. The judge, and I'm probably contradicting myself here, but the judge is guided by the law. He was depending, we were depending on the hearsay evidence of two soldiers. We are two liars. They all told lies regarding the events of Bloody Sunday. They were all covering up. They were all protecting each other. And because it has been proven that they are liars, the judge couldn't rely on their evidence, them saying that they put the F and Glenfarra Park firing his weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this has been at the committal, George McGillan, Bishop Street, and both teams discussed about delays that have been told, and everybody agreed that that there was lies told, but that didn't necessarily mean that everything that they told was a lie. You know, these four soldiers went into Glenfarra Park. They were known as a brick, and they worked two together. Now, G and H placed F in Glenfarra Park. We know F was in Glenfarra Park. That's common knowledge. But the judge, because it was known and proven that the two soldiers were liars, he had to throw the evidence out.
But there was a fight to get that evidence before the court into the first place, and when that was allowed, did you think, right, okay,
yes,
well, then maybe there will be a little bit more nuance in what is a lie and what is the truth?
The judge knocked F's defence back on two counts on similar stuff on allowing the hearsay evidence, which was sort of giving us a bit of hope.
Mm.
And even half an hour before he made his decision, when he was going through everything yesterday, I was feeling a bit confident about it. And then he just drops this on us.
He said the troops lost all sense of military discipline as they shot unarmed civilians in the back as they were fleeing from them on the streets of a British city, as he described it. Furthermore, the judge said he had no doubt the soldiers who opened fire did so with the intention to kill, and they did not act in lawful sense self-defence. That being put on the record by the presiding judge, is that an accomplishment or is that an advance?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. That's very important. That's very important. That's very heartening.
Mm.
I have to commend the judge now for saying that. That really mattered. I took comfort out of that.
Mickey, we know now the bar, and we knew it going into this, right? But I mean, this is probably a case that will be referenced in the future as various individuals, including yourself, seek justice. It is going to mean to actually bring a case and get it as far as a court now is going to be increasingly difficult, it would seem.
We always knew that this was going to be difficult. You know, we knew that, and again, because of passage of time and people getting older and people dying off, that our evidence was gradually fading away. We were very much aware of that. And we knew that the evidence wasn't really stacked in our favour.
Mm.
But we still had to have a go. You know, we couldn't let this boy walk. We had to fight and fought with Dad. You know, we stayed with it.
The one thing that came from we have a Friday panel on the show in the mornings discussing stuff, and from listeners as well, Mickey, is how you and the others in their search for justice have conducted themselves through the whole process, but also, you know, during the trial, in advance of the trial and after the trial. It's remarkable that you know, the dignity with which you have held yourselves in this as the fight goes on.
I'm thinking that really matters. Maybe your listeners may not be aware of what else was going on when we were going into the court and coming out of the court. There was ex-military standing with their berets and their badges. As we were going into the court, they were standing at the gate. And as proceedings went on, each day passed, they were standing at the front door of the court. And when we went into the court, okay, it's a public area, you know, the seating area within the court is a public area. And they were in the court as well. They weren't wearing their berets when they were on the court, but they were there. And when we was coming out of the court, and you know, at breaks during the lobby, they were standing mingling among us. They were standing very close to us. They were stalking us. They were trying to eyeball us. And none of us reacted. Quite deliberate. You know, we were never going to react to those people.
What bizarre behaviour, because that's not necessarily to support Soldier F. That might be necessarily, you could read into that saying, you know, what we did that day, here you are, there's our uniform, there's our beret.
There you go, that's a good possibility.
Wow.
I know I got all our relatives who were there, you know, we were all conscious of it, we spoke about it. Yeah. Saying, you know, this boy is standing stalking us, you know, is standing gawking at us. But we didn't react. We ignored them.
Mickey, I know you and so many other families have worked tirelessly to get justice for William, to keep William out there and for people to remember him. I do hope, Mickey, that people like you, and particularly actually as I'm speaking to you, have space for yourself as well, if you know what I mean, and that you can balance this and live your life and be happy otherwise, even though you lost your brother, if that makes sense. I really do hope you can have that balance, because you deserve that too.
Thank you.
All right, Mickey, look after yourself. All right, look after yourself, Mickey. Take care. That's Mickey McKinney, whose brother William was one of the 13 people murdered on Bloody Sunday during a civil rights demonstration. And we talked of the dignity, or our panel talked of the dignity in light of antagonization. How would you describe that? What would be your motivation for doing that in that way? You could make that point in a different way, couldn't you, unless you also had multiple motivations for being there in that fashion to begin with. And just to remind you, if you intend to vote on Arranmore Island, voting closes at 5 because of weather, the potential for unsettled weather, and to make sure that ballot box gets into the Aura Leisure Centre for the count tomorrow. And we're broadcasting live tomorrow from the Aura Leisure Centre. We've got a great team. We're going to be broadcasting from 1 to 2 on air. We might push it out a little bit exclusively across our socials, but we're on air from 12 to 1, I beg your pardon, from noon till 1 p.m. And there will be Tally's people there. We'll hopefully get a sense of what's going on in terms of who is polling well. There's a couple of interesting sort of little scenarios in there. Of course, you've got the two candidates. You've got a third candidate who hasn't been campaigning for some time. You've also got a campaign from people looking to spoil votes, etc. So hopefully the tallies will be strong enough to give us strong indications as to what's happening. We'll also find out what's happening nationally as well. A picture will be beginning to emerge at that stage. And we've got a brilliant team down there. Michaela Clark's going to be out on the floor getting the latest vibes and joining us regularly. We have a panel of Dr. Joe Kelly, John McAteer, and also Paddy Rooney. So, of course, we'll focus on local issues. We'll focus on the campaign as a whole, and we'll see where the turnout's looking, why the turnout may have been where it's at, but also who is most likely to win. And they say all the polls in the world, the only one that matters in reality is this one today. But we should know when we come on air tomorrow about 12, or exactly at 12, sorry, we should know where we're at or where we're going. So tune in for that if you can. And as I say, we might push it out a little bit exclusively online for you as well, beyond one, but we shall see.